Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now?
Rebel Radio. Burn it down!
Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house.
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back, and myself, Scotty Villa, Paralegal Mike, UK Tom. Tom, we didn't have you last week. You had some stuff you needed to do last week. This week, we got you back, but you're all busted up. What's going on, pal?
The Saskatchewan winter kicked me in the ass on the way out.
Sounds like it kicked you in the ribs.
It did. The ice took me down, and I've got two broken ribs and a cracked rib. So
jeez,
that's making me a very happy person right now.
You're hardcore, pal. You're hardcore.
He's all smiles. Don't let the pain fool you.
I was laughing in the picture. I was laughing.
Yeah, the one you posted online. That's why when you said he had a couple of broken ribs, I was pretty shocked. Where I was like, man, It looked like he just took a little tumble and laughed it off, because we all do that when we're do a little slip and fall. We just have to laugh it off, the embarrassment, right? But damn, you took a bump.
Oh yeah.
Shit. Well, hopefully this podcast will help heal you up a little bit quicker there, buddy.
Always does.
Fellas, we got a jam-packed show here, and we don't have a ton of time, so I do want to get into it. I want to start off with The Rock. Last week on SmackDown, cutting... It was in Memphis, which is the place where he got his wrestling career started, and he spent a lot of time. I know you guys all are massive fans of the show Young Rock on NBC that's now canceled. You guys watched every episode just like I did. We're like, this is the greatest television program of all time. So you know that he's got a lot of connections to Memphis. So they're in Memphis on SmackDown last week. No Roman Reigns, no Bloodline, just The Rock. And leading up to it, I had a few people within my worlds and circles saying, well, I hope we get a Rock concert like Hollywood Rock has done in the past. And in my brain, I'm like, I kind of don't want to see that. But so we get to Memphis. We get the new Rock, Hollywood Rock entrance, which looks great, sounds great. Takes a little bit too long, but that's a heel thing to do, I guess, right?
Sure.
He gets in the ring, and sure shit, you see the stuff set up for the Rock's Rock concert, and that's what we get. But before that, we get Rock saying finally The Rock has come back home, tells a story about how that's where he started his wrestling career with the name Flex Cavana and all this stuff. Massive pops. Everyone's loving, everyone's chanting, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Everyone loves it. Welcome home, Rock. And I'm sitting in my home, fellas, going, you're a fucking heel. Why are you babyfacing everybody right now? What are you doing? And then, you can tell I've been fired up about this since the second I've been watching it. And then, we get a Rock concert where he, quote unquote, sings brings out a couple musicians. One guy to play the guitar, one guy to play the harmonica, and does like a bluesy little bluesy song about how Cody sucks and doesn't like his dog or his mom or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even going to wait. It was corny as fuck. I didn't like it at all.
Well, of course he didn't.
Not even
not on the tip of Cody Rhodes. So why the fuck would you like that?
No. No. I thought it was PG era all of a sudden. I thought it was corny as shit. And then after all of that, we get a solid Rock heel promo, which he kind of started on social media earlier in the day with another fucking half hour video of him just saying shit over and over and swearing, which is fine. But you could have taken away everything before the heel stuff. Just give me the heel stuff, because I'm not in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm not in the live crowd. I'm at home watching on Fox and on Sportsnet here, crushing some Doritos. And you could have just given me the heel promo. And then when they go to commercial break, you can do all the babyface stuff. We don't need to see that on the TV because it didn't do anything to help the storyline. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. And guys, it's been a pretty solid precedent the last couple of years. Storylines are what's driving the WWE right now. Really, really strong storytelling with your main eventers. And I just feel like they shoehorned in this Rock concert and shoehorned in the Rock loving life and loving the fans and the fans loving him because they happen to be in Memphis. And the Rock's going to do what the Rock's going to do. Guys, I didn't like it. I don't know if you got that, but I didn't like it.
Well, we fucking got it. 3 minutes spiel about how the Rock didn't deliver a great promo.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
Guess what? I had fun with the Rock's promo. I thought it's the right kind of goofy. And I think it ended well, like you said. Sure, you don't want the song. I thought the song was funny. I thought the Ja Morant line was funny. I popped huge for it. We talked about it on last week's pod. It is hard to see Dwayne in the light as a pure bad guy. I think they knew they were going to run into this no matter what. You knew Memphis was coming up. You knew the history he has there. That building is going to pop for the Rock. It didn't matter, song or not. The Rocky chants are still going to happen. I think that corniness comes with Hollywood Rock in this era of WWE. I thought the song was funny. I laughed. I popped pretty hard. I mean, the weight belt beating, I'm all for it. To do the Moana line too, pretty good.
I was fine with that. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Again, this story is the star power is what's selling this match. Fuck Cody's story. His story was so good he lost it. He lost it last year's WrestleMania. That's how good the story was.
Well, I was actually somewhere in the middle of the two of you. I did not like
it. Anyway.
Good day. I'll be the filling in that sandwich any day.
Let's go.
Don't make me laugh.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, I was somewhere in the middle. I didn't like the fact that heel Rock was baby facing to Memphis. I have a Tom stat for you because that's how my brains work.
Love it.
Tom stat.
Flex Cavana had 11 matches in Memphis. That was it.
That is a very fun stat because I didn't know it was that few.
Yeah, he was not in Memphis for very long. But I'm with Mike. I thought the song was really funny. And that's the Rock. He just makes me laugh. And I think one of the reasons I knew that I thought it was funny was because we can kind of expect the response from Cody, which we can talk about obviously in a minute. But I thought it was a fun little promo. I do think it was a little bit too long, but it wasn't the 45 minutes from a couple weeks ago. So I'll let them have that. I thought it was good. And I popped probably the most for the Moana line because I thought that was hilarious.
I think it's just when he delivers like and you cried. I popped so hard. I'm like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I feel like they could have, and I said it in my rant there a second ago, that they could have gotten everything across and done everything with the crowd if they hadn't done all of it on television. You easily could have done a commercial break with The Rock saying, finally, I'm home, and you know, I love this place and you guys love me and all that stuff. And then put that up on social media later. It, you know, that's just how it works. I don't think that they needed to do that to the home audience as much. I know I'm in the minority on this one. Everyone loved the songs and everything. I didn't really enjoy them that much at all. Didn't really pop at all. I liked the Moana line. I like when The Rock got serious. And that's what I want from this quote unquote final boss. I don't need you being a tweener right now. Maybe do that after. Maybe when seeds start being planted of the split of the bloodline, if that ever comes, and when that ever comes, then you can start doing that shit. So, like, I'm hoping Roman comes out this week and goes, we're not going to see that anymore. We're not going to see any more Rock concerts anymore because we got business to attend. That's what I would like to see. But let us know. Wayne
showed up for work. Of course, it's all going on TV. And the second he walked in the building, they're like, get ready for 25 minutes. And Wayne showed up to work today.
I haven't had an issue once with how long they've been doing promos and stuff on TV, because to me, it's just they're building the story and they're storytelling. Yeah, it becomes a little bit like, all right, Rock, you've repeated yourself four times now. You could probably edit that shit out of your live performance. But the timing doesn't bother me. It seems to be quite a bit of an issue, because all these dirt sheets and jobbers online seem to think that, oh, The Rock went over, because we know that because so-and-so didn't get their entrance. That seems to be the theme that's happening on SmackDown the last couple of weeks, which drives me nuts, because everyone's just guesstimating and then putting that out there as what they think is fact. That's dirt sheet stuff I just don't like. But I'm enjoying these longer performances as long as it's pushing the story across. And the story right now is Rock is a pissed off, jealous bad guy because the fans didn't accept him. But now he does this turn this past week and he's babyface into the crowd to get people to cheer him, which is not the story right now. So that's my thought on it.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I thought the serious aspect at the end of the promo was the best part. That I popped the most for the song.
Yeah, it gave me the flair of like when Vince McMahon could do shit like that, right? When he booked shows. It's, I know it's a thing, but like the edge of WWE where it's like even bad comedy in WWE can go over. It gives you that. And to me, again, if you're not buying into the story after The Rock's 25-minute promo this past week with this song, you were in the second The Rock was involved. Nothing now in between any promo till WrestleMania is going to change your mind on how excited you are for that match and to see what the outcome will be for the following night.
But then they could have just kept Rock babyface and try to force him, because that's again, what I feel like he's trying to force himself.
Hollywood rub off, right? Listen, you've been away for a while, man. Like, the climate has changed in ways for some guys. Like, comedy is becoming a lesser aspect of WWE's programming. So when we do see it, it's just like, oh, what are we doing this for? Like, do we, like, R-Truth comes out and you're like, you're just shtick. Like, you're 100% shtick. But it works for R-Truth, right? Mm-hmm. WWE used to have segments that had a little more comedy to them. And now, just the way the wrestling climate is we want more AEW kind of that professional wrestling, like getting back to like the match is what matters, just the feud of which guy is better. No, Dwayne coming out and being like, I'm the boss. And the boss wants to sing a fucking 10-minute song. He's going to sing a 10-minute song. Like, that's how it shows. I control what's happening and play into that more. The Rock's your boss. Do more of that. Like, if you want to get over as a heel, I really think you should flex the board member stuff more. Sure. But I think the song was good. I think it's funny to come off the Cody crying promo to get into that song. And then the way that promo ended, I thought was awesome.
I would have been all for that if he would have laid into that a lot more, or didn't pander to the crowd so much to get them to not. I don't think the Memphis crowd chanted Cody's name once. I'm not saying they have to, but storyline wise, Cody is the guy that the people got behind because Brock came in there to take that spot. Right. So that's where it's split, but we can get to Cody now because he did respond on Monday Night Raw. And earlier on Monday in the day, he posted a picture on his Instagram story of Bullet Club Cody. And we all know Bullet Club Cody, where he didn't hold back. He said whatever he wanted. And that was part of the gimmick there, right? Well, I'm not saying he said whatever he wanted because that's unscripted or whatever, but Cody laid it all out on Monday. He got I think it was a 13-minute segment from entrance to commercial. He laid it all out there, calling out The Rock. It was a very Cody aggressive promo, which is what I've been waiting for since last year, essentially. So, guys, what do we think? We happy with what Cody said on Monday Night Raw? Tom, what do you got?
Now, I know I give you shit for the Cody fandom, Scott, but I'm also a big fan of Cody in ring. His promos usually irritate the shit out of me, especially when he's crying. But this was the best promo I have ever heard from Cody Rhodes. I thought it was fantastic. And the reaction he was getting from the crowds was exactly what he needed right now. And when he said, and you're whatever he said, succubus, and if you don't know what that means, it means you're a whiny little bitch. I thought that was hilarious. And we need this aggressive, edgier side of clean-cut Cody heading into WrestleMania against the final boss and the tribal chief. That's what we need.
Yeah, I think we're getting it. Mike, go ahead.
I like the promo as well. Like, again, we'll tear Scott apart for his love of Cody Rhodes. My name is Paralegal Mike. Get used to it. I'm going to bury that baby face. Heels only club. Yeah, it was a great promo. A lot of edge to it. I think when you're a clean cut baby face, your appeal to one side of the audience, when you're having that edge, you're filling the boots of John Cena. Cody is doing that job. He really is. When you cut promos like that, like, you ain't Austin. You ain't that guy who's in that tweener status. I still like it. I think Cody's delivery on the mic is good. He's well-spoken. I mean, he's probably too smart for a wide part of the audience. I still think that. Like, I think he goes out of his way to show, like, we can all be smarter. And I'm like, you should probably look at who's watching your show. just diminishing all of our listening audience as well. Thanks for listening to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
It's not you. He means me. But anyway.
Yeah. But it is good to fire it up. Like, I mean, at this point, I'm still more excited for night one than I am anything in Roman versus Cody's match. Like, I'm more excited for the tag team match. I'm not feeling it for Roman Cody yet. Like, I'll get there probably after night one, because we'll be like, okay, like, it's definitive now. We know going in. But I'm more excited to see that tag match. Like, and that's what it seems we're pushing all the thing to. Is just like, what's the stipulations? You're like, dude, you're going to finish the story. You don't finish it in this tag match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it sounds like they're really wanting to press up night one when Dwayne is on the show. Like, it's less about, like, where does Cody's story end? It's just like, what we do in night one is like, cool, man, but you're going for the title on night two. Like, this should get even more directed to Roman. And it seems like it's just The Rock's up. The Rock is going to shake Cody's hand at WrestleMania. Yeah, this is the outcome.
I agree.
This is what's going to happen.
I agree, but I think it'll be on night two.
Yeah, I think night one, bad guys win.
I think bad guys lose. Cody pins Rock.
I don't know.
The only reason I think that is they're trying to push Cody Rhodes into the John Cena territory here, and there's no better way for him to do that than to beat The Rock and Roman Reigns in one weekend.
Beating the final boss and the tribal chief. Interesting.
Or Rock protects himself, because I mean, you're Dwayne still at the end of the day. You can have some pull in how your booking goes. You lose night one, but the second Roman turns around in that bloodline rules match and pushes The Rock, then Rock retaliates on Roman. even though, like, it's at that point, it's fine. Cody doesn't need the clean win. He's only lost in those situations because of bloodline interference. Now that that happens to Roman, and you can end the bloodline storyline in one night, you can have it all. At this WrestleMania, you can have it all and start fresh going forward. You really can.
See, again, I agree but disagree. I think Cody needs the clean win.
Me too.
Do you really want a 1,500-day title reign ending on a fucked finish?
I really want Cody to lose at WrestleMania.
Ow.
I don't think there's a better reaction for a crowd so deflating than having him lose again.
Such a heel.
Right?
We'll have many more debates about this throughout the next few weeks here, because I think we're less than 3 weeks away from Mania. That's and right. That's pretty wild. I do want to flip over to AEW.
All Elite Wrestling. That's
All
right.
Elite Wrestling. And again, another promo, but this one by Will Ospreay last week. It's Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson at the Dynasty pay-per-view on, I believe, April 21st. And Will Ospreay cut what I believe is a wrestling promo of the year so far. He laid it all out there where he's happy to be there. He loves the fact that he's in AEW. He's there to wrestle the best and become a champion. And now he's being called out by one of the best in the world. But he also didn't deny the fact that this match and this program that he's doing is to help relaunch AEW. He said that, you know, there's a phrase going around backstage and online and all that stuff about restoring the feeling. And then he hit the line, bruv, I am the feeling. And I fucking shot out of my chair because I was like, yes, that is what I want. That is what I love from a babyface who is an aggressive guy, an aggressive wrestler, and will pretty much do anything he can to win. But he's not a bad guy, right? He's not a Stone Cold type character. Like, he's just this new version of, I kind of feel like he's the version of Kenny Omega that I wanted in AEW, but Kenny's so laid back at times. And then he gets into the goofy stuff where Will Ospreay is bringing it. And if I can find the clip, I'll put it into the show here of just that little chunk of what Will Ospreay said.
The moment I step foot in AEW, there has been a phrase that has been following me and following everyone. And I believe all of you guys know it because Tony Khan knows it. The boys and girls in the back know it, and everyone here knows the phrase. Restore the feeling. Bruv, I am the feeling. This match is about reminding people what AEW is. You put the best wrestler in the world against the best wrestler of the 21st century, and only one man walks out a winner.
It got me fired up to the point where I'm like, God damn it, I got to order this fucking pay-per-view because I need to see this match, because I can't wait to see what Bryan Danielson's response is. And his promos that he's been doing backstage after matches have always been phenomenal. And it's starting to get me geared up a little bit, guys. Like, God damn, AEW's kind of becoming can't miss appointment television for me again, where for the last 6 to 8 months, it was kind of hit and miss.
Okay, well, I'll start with just clarifying that I didn't actually see the promo. AEW is not back to being appointment television for me, so I will catch up with what I need to catch up after the show. One thing I will say is that you will never hear me say a bad word about Will Ospreay in the ring. His promos, I do not like. And that's because even though he has a microphone, he's usually screaming and yelling and being all Will Ospreay, which I'm kind of done with after 10 years of indie shows in the UK. but for his sake, I hope he improves. I think he will. I also hope he manages to tone down his language, because as a fellow Brit, I know how much he swears. And I know they're going to let a few fucks go every now and again on AEW TV, because they have since they started. But As an Englishman, I know what Will Ospreay's favorite word is, and you can't say that on TV.
Well, so far, so he's been very good. I don't think he's cursed once on AEW television since he's debuted, even when he was doing stuff for Forbidden Door type things. He's been good. He's been able to tone it down. If the word bruv annoys you, you might want to turn the volume down a little bit. But I think he's even toned that down a little bit, where he's not ending every single sentence with it. But the passion he's showing right now for me, for me personally, is what I'm wanting back in AEW.
I just really want the best for Will Ospreay in AEW. So I'm glad to hear that it was so good.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that UK Tom didn't see the promo. I would like to have someone translate that for me, since he's an Englishman.
Might not have been able to.
No, Scott, I'm with you. I like the fire that Will Ospreay's bringing. And again, I'm also with Tom. I still don't think AEW is appointment television. I think they're always great at getting those matches on a card, even without building a story. So like you just had to say Danielson Ospreay, and we were in. It's a match you want to see. But for a locker room leader, like, yeah, they are going to put Will Ospreay in that light. They are carrying him like he could be the guy. He's going to be our guy. And I think that's good. I think once people get wind, if you haven't already, of Will Ospreay, and you see what he can do in the ring, that's what's going to sell Will Ospreay. He is ferocious. That guy wrestles on TV in ways where I'm like, maybe don't. Yeah. Like, you can maybe save some of that juice for those big shows. This is my worry with AEW always, too, because I know their mindset is like, the wrestling really matters. But guys get real banged up. Like, what they're doing on TV, I'm like, okay, like, you can slow it down. I'm not saying do the Fed style, but like, take some of those moves out, man. Like, you guys are crushing each other. This is still TV. You got to get that mindset. And I think with new hires, like, I know they've got people from ex-WWE employees now who are just like, let's maybe learn how to stretch the story. Like, is it this week where they're doing Dynamite Rampage, the 3-hour block? They're following this week.
Which, by the way, is all on TSN this week. Yeah. Rampage is live on TSN as well, following Dynamite. But go on.
So you have 3 hours of programming. Let's do something with it. Let's really establish some stories going into Dynasty. Like, you build these, like, we're going to have another great card on Dynamite tonight. Cool. But you still also have to sell $50 pay-per-views. They don't have a luxury of having a service to go to. Like, a premium live event is easy. If you have Peacock, or if you're here in Canada and you have the WWE Network, you're in. Soon enough, that conversation is on Netflix this Sunday or this Saturday. That's huge. So you still, as AEW, have to sell $50 pay-per-views. And if that promo, like, wasn't watched, which, I mean, the ratings tell me, a lot of people aren't watching AEW still. Those who are in the know are in the know. But what's your goal? Make money. Get people to come to the show. Yeah. And I hope with 3 hours of TV, we get those stories. Your talent, like the roster, Mercedes there, Okada there, Ospreay there. Like, there is a roster of guys there where you're just, and women, where you're like, here we go. Like, all the pieces are together. Do something with them.
Well, the one thing that I struggle with as an AEW fan is I would like more stories that I enjoy. I'm not saying they never do stories, but they also throw just random matches. Like, last week on Collision was Bryan Danielson versus Shibata. And it was a really, really good TV match. And I enjoyed every second of it. But I'm like, I probably would have liked this more if I knew that they hated each other or that there was a reason they were fighting. But at the same time, their AEW, so I feel like their unpromoted mission is, just put the best wrestling matches we fucking can on TV and people will watch and enjoy it, which is what they do a lot. And it's frustrating for me as a fan, because how can I hate that? But if there's no continuity, there's no story, there's no good guy versus bad guy storyline with something on the line, a personal feud, whatever it has been, it just becomes a really great wrestling match that gets forgotten about the second that show's over. And that's where I feel like you can't really do that all the time because it's not growing your audience. It's not having people talk about it in the ways that people are talking about Rock and Hogan from WrestleMania 18 and so on and so on. Right. So sure. That's where I always get a little frustrated as an AEW fan. Cause they give me a reason to love them, but it's not unconditional love, because it's like, I feel like I have to love you because you've given me a great wrestling match between these two legends, but I want more. Right. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, Will Ospreay for me is becoming that Kenny Omega type main event super wrestling machine that also has great promos and passion. So I'm enjoying it. I want to see more of it. I'm hoping other wrestlers in AEW pick up on that as well. But guys, it's Mania season. We started out the last week or the week before. WrestleMania themes, WrestleMania stuff we're doing here on the show. We got another one for you this week. UK Tom coming in with a great little surprise here for us.
Okay, so I have a WrestleMania pop quiz for you. I have five questions.
About to embarrass myself again in front of the listening audience.
Didn't go well for me either last week.
So we have five questions, and just to clarify, the points from this round will count into the total of the going forward pop quizzes for the podcast.
Oh.
And unless otherwise stated, each question is worth 1 point.
Perfect. Ready?
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
So the first question, what was the shortest match in WrestleMania history? I just need the name of the two people that were in it, and it's 1 point.
Shortest match in WrestleMania history.
It was Dwayne and Eric Rowan. Beard.
WrestleMania 32, we were
WrestleMania
there.
WrestleMania 32, that's right.
WrestleMania, and if you're interested, it was 6 seconds.
I wasn't going to guess that. I was going to go with the Sheamus Bryan Daniel or Daniel Bryan match from 28 or 29, but well done, okay. Well done.
So all right. Mike gets a point. What
was our main?
Now we're going old school. So what was the first gimmick match at a WrestleMania? So a non-standard wrestling match is the only clue I'll give you.
I'm going to take a wild guess right now. I don't think it's right. It's a wild guess. WrestleMania 2 steel cage match in the main event with Bundy and Hogan?
It is not correct.
Shit balls.
Oh. A gimmick match, right?
Wait. Did it involve midgets?
Fuck. No.
Okay, good.
I was going to say something with like Brutus the Barber, but no, I don't know.
Okay, so it was at WrestleMania 1, and what? It was the Body Slam Challenge between Andre the Giant and Big John Studd.
Big John Studd, where Andre grabs the bag of money and he's throwing the money out to the fans, and it's a sweet WWF duffel bag. Son of a bitch.
Okay, so
I love this
question
much.
Is worth 3 points.
Oh.
Yeah. So. And who were the, this one's kind of mean, but who were the free surprises in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania 32?
Oh, I got it.
He's got shit. Go for it.
Three surprises?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaq.
Yeah.
I want to say Tatanka and Baron Corbin.
So two of them are correct. Baron Corbin, I wasn't counting because he was under contract. So there is another.
Okay, that's fine. I'm...
Shaq Tatanka, who else?
I gave you two. This is bullshit.
You get those points, Scott.
Oh,
you get
sick. I'm on the board. I'm on the board.
But Mike, you can get a point if you can guess the other one.
Oh, DDP.
Boom.
Well done.
So two for Scott, one for Mike.
Tied up. We're okay. We're looking okay.
Okay. This question, we're back to just the next two questions are just worth 1 point each.
Hey, perfect.
So the next question is, who was Rey Mysterio's first WrestleMania opponent? And I will clarify that it was not like a battle royal or anything like that, because that would be mean.
No, you're good there. Oh man.
First was Eddie.
No.
I don't know. I actually
was it know. was it Matt Hardy?
It was Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Oh. Booyaka, bitch.
WrestleMania 19 in Seattle. Okay, our last question. What was the original name of the women's WrestleMania Battle Royal?
Oh, it was the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah. It was.
And then people were like, well, she was kind of whoring some of these women out, and Snickers got pissed.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
You're at four.
Slow start, big finish. Story of my life. Slow start, big finish. I got it done quick, too. So quick.
Okay, I just have to update my scorecard here.
There we go. So in our group chat, and obviously off the air, we've been talking about, like, Tom's like, oh, I got a pop quiz question for you guys. And I think we did it a couple weeks ago on the show before WrestleMania stuff started, and we liked it, obviously. And then Tom said, well, I've got more pop quiz questions. These ones are WrestleMania ones. And we're just both Paralegal Mike and I said, let's do it all year. Like, any chance we get. Yes. We love pop quizzes. So this is fantastic. And as a two-time Booker of the Year, I went ahead and pushed that through.
So, two-time
Booker of the Year. So I'm pretty happy
about
that.
I'm in the lead for you, too. Yeah,
This is year three.
Oh my god,
because I came into the show when we started on Spotify as Booker of the Year, so and then last year, of course, I won that too. So you're in the lead right now technically, but I think you should have lost points because you missed that one question in the pop quiz. So
this has no bearing over Booker of the Year.
But guys, great show. Let us know what you think of the promos that we've been seeing, whether it's Rock, Cody, Will Ospreay. Well, we'd love your feedback. People really seem to love the camera shot last week of Sami Zayn walking from the ring through gorilla position into the back, and then the camera stops. It was all one single camera shot, and thinking it's revolutionary. My tip of the week, everyone fucking watch your words. They're just, yes, it was a fine camera shot. And yes, Kevin Dunn didn't do it because Kevin Dunn fucking sucks. But let's not masturbate over the fact that they did a one shot, and that was a moving one shot. Let's dial it back a little bit here. We can enjoy the product, that's fine, but going online saying this is revolutionary and Kevin Dunn wouldn't have done it. We know Kevin Dunn wouldn't have done it. This isn't revolutionary. This isn't the first time someone with a handheld camera followed somebody 50 feet. Calm down, you're fine. Now, can you use that shot differently in the future? Absolutely. You can tease other shit by stuff going on in the background. It's a great floor to build off of, but let's watch our words that we're using when it comes to phenomenal and revolutionary and groundbreaking, because it's not. Stop it. The guy just did his job.
Well, people are forgetting that Sami Zayn is still wrestling Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Better get behind Sami Zayn.
Just not behind it. Still not behind it. Contract signing proved even more. I'm not behind it. Find a way to get Chad Gable into that goddamn match. Oh. And
no, you guys hurt Sami Zayn's feelings last week. Booker T said Sami Zayn was very upset with the social media response to him winning that match. No one fucks with Sami Zayn's feelings. He's a very nice boy.
Since when do you listen to Booker T?
Huh?
Our group chat was
what? Ducky ducky.
Unless Gunther eats him alive in 12 seconds at WrestleMania, I'm not fucking interested.
Yep.
You'll be interested when it's the match of the weekend. The match of the weekend.
Yeah, okay.
That's our show, folks. We're out of here. It's been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast on Spotify. Make sure you follow us on social networks at In My House Pod and on Spotify. This is us, Tom, Mike, Scott, In My House Pod, Spotify Podcast, In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house.